Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good morning and welcome to episode 42 of the Jaguar Report podcast. I'm here with my co-host, John Shipley. My name is Gus Logue. John, explain to the watchers what's happening on your face here. Is that a battle scar? Were you trying to impress a girl?
I'm engaged, Gus, but I'm well past the feeling the need to impress stage.
Yeah,
big fan of the movie Scarface. It was an animal pet related it's that was completely my fault. So
a pet
ahead and scratched me. Yeah, so you know it happens, but until then I was this close to wearing an eye patch, so could have been
an eye patch man. You should have. That would have been good.
Well, no,
you still look pretty badass though.
So is this galaxy brain, but I'm right-handed, right?
Okay.
I also think I'm right-eyed.
Okay, no. I'm going to shut it down now. But let's hear an explanation. What do you have?
I feel like my right eye is my dominant eye.
Does that like mess with your depth perception at all, though?
I also have a take on being right-eared, but we can save that for another day.
Are you right nostril too?
I'd make an argument.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's a little stuffier most of the time.
Yeah, this is what happens when it's late May.
All right, so just like the whole left side of your body is like meh, but like you do have the scar on the right side of your face.
I was gonna say, yeah? The left side of my face doesn't have a big cat scratch on it.
So there we go. But there's just less action going on the left side in general.
Who sings Cat Scratch Fever? You look like somebody who would listen to that.
Someone who has no idea what words just came out of your mouth.
Cat Scratch Fever. Never heard it?
No, never heard of it.
No? Okay, good. I'm proud of you.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Well, other than being maybe mildly attacked by an animal, how have you been doing elsewise, John?
I've been doing good, man. As you know, there's been nothing going on, so we've been able to kind of, you know, just chill a little bit this offseason. We got a few more, you know, OTA practices, mandatory mini camp coming up, and then you know still some press conferences, etc. But we're almost to the complete dead period where there's nothing going on before training camp, so I'm just holding down until then, buddy.
Yeah, especially with the NBA finals about to end too. I mean, they start tomorrow, but once they end tomorrow, it's gonna be just like all sports are gonna be dry because
yeah,
I don't know, I don't watch baseball.
The Cubs suck and they're my team, so
there you go. Non-baseball podcast.
Yeah. Sports are dry on it.
Sports are dry. So, yeah. Well, one thing that is happening right now is OTAs for the Jaguars. They had day four yesterday, and it was the second day that media was able to watch. So, spit out some takeaways.
That always trips me up. Like, it's OTA 4, but it's also, is it not really OTA 2? You know, but,
did it really happen if a media member wasn't there to see it?
When you put it that way, yeah, it sounds complete buffoonery. So. Good point. Good point. No, it's, you know, we're limited in like terms of scope of what we can report from OTAs. So, like, anybody who's expecting like play by plays and stuff like from OTAs, it's just like can't do it, not going to happen. And, but from what I have seen, you know, some, you know, general takeaways. Like, I still think the offensive line is, you know, big area to watch, you know, going into training camp. Just because, I mean, just yesterday, you saw their currently injured offensive linemen working to the side during team drills, and it was Cam Robinson, Ben Burch, and Josh Wells. I mean, those are three of their top, those are three guys, like offensive linemen, who should be active during a game, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are three pretty important guys. So, the offensive line is still, you know, kind of in flux, and that to me was one thing, but it also kind of shows, like, you know, what the hell they're going to do if they didn't get Anton Harrison. Like, you know, like, you know, Cam isn't going, Josh Wells isn't going. Who, I don't know who would have been, you know, at right tackle. So I really think the offensive line is, like, that's not to say I am thinking the offensive line will struggle or anything like that, because I actually think Phil Rauscher did a really good job last year. Trevor Lawrence obviously helps an offensive line, but I thought that offensive line itself had some really good individual performances and performances as a whole, held up in some big games. So I think it's a well-coached unit, and I don't necessarily think any, you know, off-season injuries will take away from it moving into next season. But I do think it's like an area to kind of watch that maybe people don't talk about enough.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, especially after the draft, like, cornerback and edge were kind of on – all our radars in terms of like what the Jaguars still need to add in terms of depth. But I think there's like a pretty solid argument that offensive line is a not so distant third behind those two positions.
I will say one of the big things that's gone a long way for the Jaguars along the offensive line since last year has been, yeah, they had a rookie center last year. They're going to have a rookie right tackle for whatever amount of games this year. Is Brandon Scherff like being there to kind of, you know, just settle the storm a little bit, like during the games, just in terms of like somebody knowing, like, if you're going to start a rookie offensive lineman, you want somebody reliable next to them, just in terms of their assignments. And if they didn't have him, it could the last 2 years with, you know, the young guys they've been putting through the lineup could have been tough sled.
Right. Cause yeah, they had Fortner in the same kind of situation last year where he was an NFL rookie and got to play next to Scherff. And apparently Fortner's got kind of all the assignments communications down pretty well, but in terms of like actually what happens after the snap, I'm sure Scherff was helpful.
Hey, Fortner looks bigger too. I
was wondering about that because he's like the guy that needed the weight room the most this offseason, I would say.
Yeah, like there's a couple guys who noticed like look bigger, like Trevor looks bigger, obviously Andre Sisco. Fortner to me, you know, definitely looks bigger. And I mean, Press Taylor made a good point a couple weeks ago. He's like, this is me rephrasing what he said, but in short, yeah, there are so many good defensive tackles right now and so many massive defensive tackles. Like, how many centers are going to be able to block these guys one-on-one? Like, defensive tackles plays really good in the NFL right now, you know?
That's
like, it's obviously an area he needs to improve in, but he's not alone in that struggle.
Yeah, it's not like the guy who would replace him would be, like, that much better than him. So, I get what you mean there. In terms of, like, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to do a look ahead. So do you have anything else? All right. So looking ahead to when Cam Robinson is going to return from his suspension, which the specific number of games hasn't been released yet, but it'll probably be 6-ish or like about half the season or a little less. Is that probably fair?
It can be in any range from like 2, 4, 6, 8. It, like until the NFL passes down a ruling, like there's really like operating in a sense of, okay, like, just put it on the back burner until it comes up. Like it's going to be between 2 and 8. So I don't know if there's any exact knowing whatever it's specifically going to be when the NFL does officially, you know, announce it.
Do you have any idea when they will announce it? Well, Cam Robinson will be missing multiple weeks. And in his absence, you'd assume that Walker Little will start at left tackle, Anton Harrison at right tackle, Scherff at right guard, Fortner at center, and then left guard comes down to how healthy Ben Bartsch is, but it's possible that Shatley starts week one at left guard. And then once Robinson comes back, like, do you think Bartsch is going to have the left guard job as soon as he's healthy? Like, do you think Cam Robinson is going to get back into the starting lineup as soon as he's available? How do you see it shaking out?
Like, it'd be really tough, like, if Walker Little was playing well, in my opinion, to make him move from left tackle. But say Cam only misses a couple games and he comes back and you can put him and Walker at tackle spots. I mean, I feel like putting Anton, like if you want to play your best five, Anton at left guard would make some sense. Like, what, like, do you think so?
I was kind of expecting you to say Walker Little at left guard, like, have Anton play right tackle pretty much the whole season. And then, like, once Cam comes back, then maybe have your best five, as you said, and just push Little inside and have Cam at blindside.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Did Harrison play any guard in college? I think he just, like, played both tackle spots.
Yeah, no, both tackle spots. But it feels like Peterson's, like, gone out of his way to say, like, yeah, we think he can play guard too. So, even Little there. Like, if you want to play your best five, like, it's tough because on one hand, why move Little and Harrison if they're playing well?
Right.
But if you want to get your best players on the field, you know, Robinson's one of your five best offensive linemen. You know, I just think, like, it's tough to keep him off the field, you know, when he's actually available. I mean, he's somebody who they've obviously relied upon a lot in the past. Like, if they thought Walker Little was better than him, Walker Little would have been playing left tackle last year.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. Do you think there's any chance that Cam moves inside to guard, or guard would be, like, either one of the natural guards?
I don't think Cam would be, honestly. I think Cam, if he plays, it's left tackle.
Yeah,
which I think makes sense. Like, he's the most experienced left tackle on the roster. You know, he has years and years of experience at left tackle. Like, Walker Little, so as good flashes as he's had, it's still, you know, fewer than 10 starts at the position, whereas Robinson has multiple seasons.
Yeah, we could get, like, a month into the season, and it's, like, not even really a question of who's starting where based on just how the first couple of weeks go. But what's your official guess, like, week six starting lineup across the board for offensive line?
I'll go Robinson left tackle, Walker right tackle, Anton left guard. And that, I know I said differently right after the draft. It's just the more I think about it and the more I see their offensive line now, it's, you know, why not have your five best players on the field? You know, yeah, that might make some awkward fits at times, but if you want your five best, you know, out of the guys they have on the roster now, Robinson's one of them.
Would you be, like, shocked by, like, let's say Engram doesn't end up signing a multi-year extension, even though at this point it still is probably more likely than not, and then the Jaguars release Cam Robinson, which probably wouldn't make a lot of sense, but just stay with me. Like, would you be shocked by that if they, like, freed up some money by releasing him? And, like, he just, like, has already started his last game for the Jaguars?
Yeah, I would be. Just because, like, what are they going to do with that money right now? You know, like, they have the money to sign guys right now.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess we'll get to one of those players later. But I don't know. I always thought that, like, I mean, they did free up some more money a little bit more recently, but, like,
no,
Engram deal was, like, the path to a free agent being signed.
I mean, right now they have over $10 million in cap space available, and then if Engram signs the deal, that's even more. Like, to me, like, you don't have to release Robinson to make any move, and that's why, like, if this was, like, before free agency, that'd be different, you know. But
yeah,
we're like in the period now where, like, they're gonna be looking for a deal regardless. They're not gonna try signing somebody, in my opinion, free agency for big money. I think they're gonna try to find, like, a decent bargain.
Yeah, and releasing Robinson would definitely, like, kind of tank the floor and the ceiling of the unit.
Like, if they didn't have Walker last year, they don't make the playoffs. You know, like having offensive tackle death is not something most teams have. So if you have it, you know, why say screw it?
Yeah, I guess I also didn't know if there was, like, bad blood because of the suspension, or if the blood isn't that bad.
Things look normal yesterday.
All right.
Yeah.
Yesterday was also the first time you saw Jacksonville's new kicker. Yeah.
Oh yeah. The leg.
Big leg.
Dude, I mean, Doug Peterson was really diplomatic in his answer while they made the move. He was like, you know, Riley made a big kick. We got a pick back for him. He gets to stay in the NFL. Brandon's experience. And then Heath Farwell, while complimenting Riley Patterson, of course, was like, yeah, Brandon basically like Riley had a shorter like range than him last year. And like, we don't have to worry about that with him. He gives us flexibility on kickoffs and in field goals. And to me, you saw it in practice. Like, he hit a couple 50 plus yarders, 60 something yarder. Like, he, to me, like, you can just see the ball coming off his leg in practice. That this is a guy, like Farwell said, he had elite leg strength. And in my opinion, you can see it. And yeah, are the efficiency numbers as good as you would hope the last, you know, year or so? No, they weren't. But he's not somebody, in my opinion, who, like, his numbers weren't declining before last year. You know, he was still having a, like, solid performances. And then last year, double digit 50 plus yard field goals, a couple 60 yard attempts, I think a couple block field goals, and also playing for a really bad, like, offensive team, which, you know, makes any kicker's job hard. And you compare it to Patterson's performance. Like, I get why, you know, fans were surprised, because, I mean, when the last times you saw him, he was making one of the biggest kicks in franchise history. But to me, like, it was clear during games that they didn't trust his leg strength. Like, they were only asking him to kick long field goals if, like, there was, like, no other alternative, pretty much, or if, like, doing anything else was clearly the wrong call. And to me, a big reason they went for fourth down so many times in that territory was because of that. And if you want to just, you know, push up the glasses and, you know, look at it analytically, you know, maybe having the chance to steal 3 points in some of those situations can flip a couple games.
Right. Especially, like, as special teams coach Heath Farwell said yesterday, at, like, the end of games and the end of halves is, like, kind of the big time. Cause then, like, it's kind of not even worth going for it if you don't have enough time to score a touchdown. So then having that leg is extra valuable then. But yeah, Heath also said that Brandon McManus, after he was released by the Broncos, I think it was sometime last week, reached out to him and said, hey, I want to come play in Jacksonville. So for the Jags, it was kind of a no-brainer to upgrade their kicker unit, especially for a guy that wants to be here. So yeah, he did, like, that's just a testament to the culture that Doug's built, yada, yada, like what it's like to be here. So
100%. And McManus said after practice that the Jaguars had also, you know, like, Balky had shown, like, Rosenhaus was his agent, and that Balky and Rosenhaus had made contact, and that there was mutual interest. And I guess McManus, knowing Joe DeCamillis, the former Broncos and Jaguars special teams coordinator, I guess DeCamillis is, like, Heath Farwell's mentor. I guess he's the one who was able to, you know, put them in touch. He also, interestingly enough, said that they weren't the only ones he reached out to. So he at least he had his options. Like,
yeah,
to me, though, they were only going to release Patterson if a kicker like McManus came available. And, like, I get why some people question it. Patterson was way younger. He was here last year. If you just look at their numbers last year without, like, broader context, Patterson obviously cleared him out of the water. But, like, if you just peel it back a little bit, it makes sense, in my opinion.
Total sense. Like, not even just, like, with field goals, but the kickoffs is going to be huge, especially with this, like, new rule where, like, in college, if you call for a fair catch inside the 25-yard line, you now get to advance it to the 25. So
I am
better leg on kickoffs got more valuable.
I am thrilled to cover a team that has a kickoff returner, because I don't have to care about that rule change. Mm-hmm. I the Jaguars, from their kicking perspective, strategy wise, will have to, you know, factor it in. But I mean, you're not going to ask Jamal Agnew to fair punt it. Yeah, I mean, fair punt, Jesus, fair catch it many times regardless. You know, like, I saw, like, the Cowboys returner. I saw somebody ask him, and he was like, it doesn't change anything for me. I'm never going to fair catch it.
Yeah.
He's like, they had that rule in college, and I never used it then either. So, like, you know, I feel like for a team with a guy like Agnew, it probably doesn't change as much as it does, you know, for other teams.
Right. It definitely more so changes, like, what the Jaguars are going to do when they're the ones kicking, because I feel like Bill Belichick forever would try to pin teams, like, within the 10 or 20 yard line. And now that's what the Jags and plenty of other teams do. And so, like, McManus is, like, he'll be used to, like, kick it out of the end zone in certain situations, and another, like, he'll be asked to kind of almost squib it or try to, like, put it in a certain spot. So, I mean, they upgraded a pretty important position. So
it was a good move, in my opinion. It was,
yeah,
sneaky good, you know, like one of Balky's, like, in my opinion, we'll see how it plays out, but it could be one of his better moves. Like, just because I think it's like a clear, like, for a team that wants to be a playoff team and, you know, was a playoff team last year, but you're going to have to win some close games. I think just adding like an experienced kicker in big games and a guy with a bigger, like, bigger leg just makes sense.
Right. When you're zoomed out, it looks like the Jags, like, didn't really do a whole lot this offseason, especially since their big move in Anton Harrison was just replacing someone who left in free agency. But I mean, when you consider like a small signing like this McManus ad and then the Calvin Ridley deal that happened last trade deadline and a bunch of small stuff, it's going to add up.
Oh, 100%. And then just, in my opinion, one of the big things is just going to be the natural progression of the guys who are in their second year there. Like Peterson said yesterday, like, all the guys who are in their second year of the team, even like the old guys like Foyer, Foley, et cetera, like they're still calling them second year players. like if you think about it, like to an extent, like, yeah, they are second year players, like to them. And I think just being like, for once, the Jaguars not having like change on their coaching staff and then their leadership will actually, you know, pay off.
That's what I was going to say. Mike Caldwell is a second year guy too. Just like calling plays in general. It's his second NFL year. So. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Should we talk Nuke? Is that the only other thing on our list?
I think it's Nuke time. I think it's time to talk DeAndre Hopkins. That is, man, people have not even seem like they want to even entertain it.
No, I don't know if it's just because he used to wear a Texans jersey for a long time or because he's kind of old, but his performance really hasn't dropped off that much. Like, he missed some time last year, but it was due to suspension.
It seemed like in January when that report from like the station, the radio station out there, said that he'd be interested in playing for the Jaguars, it seemed like people were more willing to hear it out then. And I'm like, Calvin Ridley was still on the team then. I guess Ridley's like been on the practice fields then since then, so maybe it's a little more real.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, because like he hadn't even been reinstated at that point, yeah. So it was still a little bit of a question mark.
Fair enough. Horse to by my own petard.
So Hopkins got released by the Cardinals last Friday, and he said like three different times in the past few months since January, like what kind of team or what team or what quarterback he wants to play with. And I feel like he gives a kind of slightly different answer every time. But it's pretty obvious that he wants to play with a good quarterback and with a Super Bowl contender. So when he was released, the DraftKings released odds for who he'll take the next regular season snap with, and the Jags ranked tied for 13th in best odds. So, yeah, like they're like kind of sort of in it, but I think you're muted.
There you go. Good call. That's why we're
about to launch into it.
No, I was. I had to hold myself back. You said several things that just made me. No, I'm just kidding. That was complete accident.
I was like, I was just reading from a script, man. That was the first. All right. Well, launch into scripted? It. I've got just a little outline. That's all.
Okay. I see you trying to organize my creative process.
Yeah. I'm just adding some structure so you can really let the creativity go. Okay. Let it flow.
All right, machine. Well, yeah, I agree with you that like I don't think Hopkins is like that much worse now than he was a couple years ago. Like, yeah, he's probably a little slower, but he's never been that fast. You know, yeah. Like, he's always been like a contested catch guy anyways.
Right. He like still wins the same way.
Yeah. And like, I think his game, like, has always been set to age really well. And I think he'd play really well with like guys like Allen and Mahomes just on broken plays and stuff. I think he'd still, you know, so to me, it has nothing to do with the quality of the player. It's just, okay. So they're in an offense, you know, they're on the field next year. They're in the personnel with, they have Calvin Ridley, Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, and Travis Etienne all in the field at the same time. That's already a lot of guys to get the ball to.
Yeah. Like, Trevor and Ridley, as of now, are probably going to be the only consistent performers, and everyone else is going to be like, good game here, okay game there, doesn't do a lot in this game, yada, yada.
Exactly. And then you add in, like, the other guys, Jamal Agnew, you know, the other tight ends who are going to factor it in. Like, there's already enough, like, not enough footballs, like, to go around in the Jaguars offense, like, with the addition of Ridley. So, I think it's like the first time I've ever said like when a like good player has become available that the Jaguars shouldn't pursue him. But I don't think they need Hopkins, and that's weird because normally I'm like the stance of sign everyone, you know,
yeah,
trade for everyone, you know, right, push all your chips in, you know, try to win a Super Bowl. But I just, if you sign him, like, to me, the one thing I will say is, like, I guess Kansas City and Buffalo, you know, are the two most rumored teams for him. Like, if they're trying to sign him, like, you do, like, an NBA-type move and sign him. So, like, ha-ha, you know, like, you can't have him.
Yeah,
that would be good. Use him, but you can't have him.
I mean, especially considering, like, the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills and a bunch of AFC contenders are kind of, like, on his radar. The Jets, too, like... Yeah, I'll get it for that perspective, but
the NFC sucks.
It does. A quarterback needs to go there. Like, some quarterback needs to go there. Caleb Williams, get like Justin Herbert over there, and now they West. Who do you say?
Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Wasn't serious.
But no team traded for Hopkins when he had $19 million left on his salary. Yeah. So. That kind of means that he's going to want at least $20 million. I think Odell just signed for $15 million, so that would be like the absolute lowest I feel like he would take.
Yeah. Like the Odell deal kind of like, I feel like, ruined any chance of getting Hopkins for like a bargain.
Right. So for that reason, I'm with you. Like, he would just be a luxury ad, and I don't think the Eagles or like the Eagles or like the Chiefs where they have like a good enough roster that they can just say, screw it. Like, let's go get this guy since he's available. Like, it's just about like resource allocation. Like, you still need more depth on defense before you can like add more firepower to the offense.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like it's in their DNA. It,
okay, no, it doesn't. Guy.
Okay. I mean, could you see an argument? Like, what argument would you make in favor of doing it?
Fun, fireworks, flags against the defense. See fair. If there's any other efforts.
Fair enough. I mean,
yeah, but like it being fun to watch would be like the biggest thing. Like, if fans could vote on like what the team would do, then like fans should vote for them to the Jaguars to sign Hopkins, just because it would be a lot of fun to watch this season. And like, I don't know. If you're not going to win the Super Bowl, which like they have a chance to, but probably won't, might as well score a lot of points and have fun during the regular season. That would be like the argument to sign him, I feel like.
Are you worried about Hopkins if he signs with the Chiefs or the Bills?
Yeah. Or the Ravens.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like a alpha anymore, but at the same time, like, he like changes numbers for every opposing off defense that faces those like already elite quarterbacks. So like him going to any AFC contender would make me like more nervous about them, because I think he's still like maybe not a Pro Bowl receiver, but close to it.
Fair enough. Like, I think he still has another like two, maybe three like good seasons left in him. Honestly, mm-hmm. Like Albert Breer has a really good article on him, you know, executives talking about him that I, you know, highly recommend, you know, everybody reading. And, you know, you also have to factor in that, you know, every receiver has ever been a good receiver is a little twisted, you know, so you also have to factor in the fact that he's kind of a different guy. You know, he's somebody who traditionally hasn't been great on losing teams. And, you know, obviously that's not the expectation in Jacksonville, but it doesn't like seem like there's ever really been a big market for him. And I don't think it's going to be a case where like 30 teams are like bidding for his services or anything like that. I personally don't expect the Jaguars to like seriously pursue him.
Right. Yeah. I guess he's probably just like one of those names that's circled, but they won't actually do anything about it until like the price changes significantly. Then maybe they'll pick up the phone.
Would you do it for $5 million and yes. No. Okay. $8 million plus incentives.
I think anything under the $10 million that the Jaguars like currently have in cap space would be worth it, in that like they wouldn't have to like restructure even more contracts and like move even more money around. So if they could like do it without having to do any other like deals because of it. I do think that one of the reasons they won't do it is because like Zay Jones like can't really be cut or traded easily. Like if they could trade him or cut him and have like save $9 million and only have like $1 million against the cap, then like sure, maybe like
it's not like you
replacing Zay with Nuke, and then there's a little bit more like of an answer for like the mouths to feed problem. But that's not really the case because like Zay's contract got restructured, so he's got a bunch of void years, and like you'll save like $8 million in 2023, but only $2 million next year if you cut him after tomorrow, June 1st.
And it's not like he had a performance last year where you need to replace him either.
No, like if anything, he's another year two guy, and like probably another guy who, at least through pictures I saw on Twitter, like I thought he looked bigger too. So like it would be kind of weird to release or cut him or trade him since he had some pretty big moments for the team last year. He's like the offense's version of Rayshon Jenkins.
He had a good day yesterday too. The Jaguars, you know, tweeted one of the plays that we can't talk about yesterday. You know, that deep completion he had from Lawrence. You know, he's somebody who it just seems like he fits well in the scheme. He fits well with Lawrence. Like, you already have a good thing going. Why change it? You know,
right?
Yeah. So
I agree. Well, it would be a lot of fun, but
it would be. It's something you do in Madden. I'm not sure you do it in reality. But with that said, give us a quick second for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. All right, Gus, what do you got for me, buddy?
That was everything on my outline, honestly. I didn't. My hot take was going to be like that Cam Robinson won't play a game for the Jaguars again until you kind of like lean me away from that cliff.
That's right.
So, yeah, I don't know. Do you have a hot prepared hot take?
I do.
That sounds like a no.
I do. No, I do. I do. I do. Okay. It's just, is it worth, you know, like it's in the pressure cooker right now. Luke Farrell finishes with the second most catches among their tight ends.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Do you want to explain a little more?
I think young tight ends like take a while to, you know, kind of develop in the NFL. And like, I think Strange is going to be really valuable from a blocking perspective. It's just, I'm like, out of guys who, you know, I've looked impressive and guys who it seems like kind of been, you know, stepping up with some other guys not there. It's been Farrell time, baby. It just feels like, you know, after years of them being like, okay, we like him, you know, he's getting better. Like if it's between him and like a rookie in Strange, I think Farrell's probably going to look better at times, because to me so far he's looked better in practices.
Who's going to lead the team in, or be second among tight ends in snaps behind Engram?
That's a good question. I think it'll be close. I really think it'll be close.
What is Farrell, a third year guy now?
Yeah.
All right, that's a good take. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I know it's a curveball for a hot take to involve, you know, Luke Farrell, but yeah, like
I'm gonna write that down because we got to start writing down.
Do it. Write it down right now. Luke Farrell has the second most catches among the tight ends. I tested the waters with that one yesterday and was pushed back on it, but I'll.
No, I think that's a good one. I like that.
You don't even got one off the cuff for me. You don't even got one that you think you can. Nah, you don't got nothing boiling for me. I got another one for you. You ready? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Jermichael Hasty finishes with more carries than Tank Bigsby.
Oh.
Maybe not more touchdowns. You know, maybe not more important carries, but more carries.
More overall carries.
Yeah.
You think he's going to be second in snaps on the team behind ETN next year?
I do.
Okay. Let me write. What was the?
Yeah. Write that one down too. Let's do it. Okay. You don't believe that one as much, do you?
No, I do.
It's just that I don't want to believe it. That's the thing.
You make
but I get it.
You made me feel like I could be like a lawyer or something. Like, am I that convincing?
No, I'm just. I think they're good takes. I mean, I like that the strange thing was like partly because of like recent stuff and not just like blurting out a take. But
yeah, like just like the more you watch them, it's like, shouldn't we expect the third year tight end to look better? You know, like how much are they really going to throw in the rookie tight end's plate when like they're trying to win games? You know, like if this was like the 2020 Jaguars or 2021 Jaguars, maybe. You know, hey kid, go out there and play. But you, like, does that make like, sense?
Did Josh Oliver ever play? Not really.
It was never.
I guess he was hurt a lot, but
yeah, he was never healthy. That's when the NFL's best blocking tight ends, baby. He is.
I know, but like, how random is that? Because like, no sense. I if you had told me he would like would have broken out in the NFL a few years ago when he was drafted, I'd be like, oh, he's probably like some sick like receiving threat. But nah, he's a badass blocker instead.
I'll never forget Doug Moreau. Like, it was during the COVID training camp, coming on a Zoom. It was like 8:30 in the morning. I'm sitting in the parking lot, the Jaguars practice field in my truck, listening to Doug talk before practice. And he's just starts with, so Josh Oliver broke his foot running. Like, dude, how do you do that, man? But it's cool to see that he's kind of turned that around.
It is cool to see. He got a pretty nice deal from the Vikings.
Hey, Dave Caldwell kind of killed that third round.
Low key, yeah. Diamond
Josh D. Oliver and Quincy Williams are two pretty good third round picks.
They were like, will about his day one drafting, but he could find some gems in the later rounds.
Like, they weren't good picks for the Jaguars, but like as just in terms of scouting, like
right, really? Right,
good players.
Right. Okay. Hasty second in carries. Is that what you said?
That's right.
Okay.
Second in touches too. Throw that in there.
And touches and snaps.
Sure.
Maybe not touchdowns, but.
No, I'll say not touchdowns. I'll say Tank has more touchdowns.
Tank Bigsby, Jaguars 2023 goal line back.
Yeah, basically. So, come on. I'm giving you a 2-for-1 special here, and you're not even going to give me the one?
I feel like your two counts for my one. I don't want to. I'm trying to
have a hot take.
I don't want to give out a hot take just for the sake of it. Like, I want to have something good.
Yeah.
Maybe. Do you want to start doing ranking? Do you want to do that segment soon?
Oh yeah.
All right. Maybe next week we'll think of something to rank, and this will be a new segment where it's just ranker, where we rank whatever is relevant.
So we'll take submissions.
Yeah, that too. So we'll find something to rank, and then like that way, hot takes will kind of emerge from that stew. And yeah, I mean, it's OTAs, and it's like I haven't been there personally, so
you're not
I got nothing.
You're not missing much. It's OTAs. I sincerely say this, like, to fans too, like, you're not missing much. Like, yeah, it's cool to see Trevor Lawrence like throw passes and stuff, but they're in helmets and shorts. They're not going full speed. Like, yeah, like it's just, it's not like anything close to what training camp will mean. You know what I mean?
Okay. I got a take.
Okay.
McManus will be a top, I'll say 3 fantasy football kicker in 2023. Okay. And I say fantasy just because like, I feel like that would be the best way to like,
I like that,
judge like the distance and like miss kicks and stuff.
Put it on the board.
I think he's going to have like a decent amount of long ones, and like the Jags are going to score a lot of points bar injuries. So like, I think he's going to be good and like kind of prove himself in year one that it was a good signing.
Put it.
Okay. Yeah. Good call. I was sitting right there. I forgot about it. All right. McManus top 3 fantasy.
You're not just going to throw this away, are you?
Not my phone. No. I got a little Google Docs, so maybe I'll throw it into the internet trash bin. But
for some reason, I thought you were writing it on a piece of paper.
No. I haven't done that since grade school, John.
Okay, grade school. Look at who calls it grade school? I've never called it grade school in my entire life.
I was just trying to say, like, I wrote everything on a computer since high school, I feel like.
Yeah, grade
school.
Grade school.
Great.
No, I like that. Okay, let me ask you this before we, you know, call it a day.
Okay.
Is it actually a good thing for Doug Peterson to be more conservative on fourth down past the 50? Like,
I mean,
did Riley Patterson not having a big leg actually make him a better coach?
But here's the thing is, like, I mentioned the, like, end of halves for a reason earlier is, like, I think that's where you're going to see it the most. Like, I think if you look at, like, when they go for on fourth down within 2 minutes versus outside of 2 minutes left in either half, like, there will be a big difference within 2 minutes because, like, McMahon is going to get trotted out there for a 60-yarder and they can say, let's see if he's got it versus, like, doing a Hail Mary. But then outside of 2 minutes, like, I think, like, I don't think it'll change that much. Like, I feel like it'll, like, it'll change like 2 to 3 decisions.
They did, like, they did stink at the end of halves.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of getting those gimme points. So
I think like the Jags special teams could be a pretty good overall unit. Cause I think they ranked like Logan Cook is also pretty good. They've got good gunners. Jamal Agnew is great. Like the whole unit is kind of coming together in terms of like their starters. And then I feel like they've had like pretty good just special teams, like other like linebackers and tight ends and other players like giving good special teams value.
Yeah, I mean, starting. They improved by DVOA. Rick Goslin, who, you know, does a special teams like ranking every single year. It's like known as like basically the Bible for like special teams rankings. Like mm-hmm. special teams coaches like even like adhere to it. Like have them improve like pretty substantially last year. I really think it's like obviously nobody wants to be like, oh, the special teams unit is like stinky good, but it is. And you know, we've talked about it before, Chris Claybrooks and Daniel Thomas are really good gunners. You know, like they, and I feel like most of the rookies they took this year outside of a couple guys are going to be special teams guys. Like Yusir Abdullah, I feel like could be really good on special teams. Antonio Johnson, I feel like can be really good on special teams. Hallett, Braswell, like they all have chances to like these are all guys who it feels like they play really fast and you know they emphasize special teams a lot in their decision making. So I feel like you've seen it translate, you know, to the field.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like their special teams and their offense is almost going to be their defense this year in terms of just like they're going to help so much in terms of like special teams with field position is pretty huge and like momentum as Heath said yesterday. And then the offense just in terms of like game script and like letting the defense play like with a lead, like it's gonna have its kind of like trickle down effects.
Can I give you another hot take?
Please do. I mean, we missed last week, didn't we? I think this is our first pod in 2 weeks. So yeah, give me another one.
Trayvon Walker will play twice as many snaps with his hand in the dirt as he does standing up, and he will record 7.5 sacks.
Ooh, okay.
Write it down.
7.5 plus or just exactly 7.5?
7.5.
Okay.
Yeah. If he gave you 7.5 sacks and he's a plus run defender, would you take that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would take 7.5 sacks if he was on the edge, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, it might not be, like, great, but...
I mean, I still think like even hand in the dirt, I still think can be on the edge. It's just I feel like this isn't based on anything we've seen. It's just I feel like when you see him in year two, that they're gonna accept more of like the kind of player that he is, and it just seems like his skill set when you see him physically, like he just looks like a prototype defensive end. So I just think he's gonna be. I ultimately think that he's going to have the season people want to maybe not want to see, I should say, because I feel like some people would actually be upset with 7.5 sacks.
He was the number one overall pick.
Yeah. Aiden Hutchinson had, what, like 11.5 fake sacks last year? Something like
3 picks.
Yeah.
Like what?
He did. He had a stupidly productive season. And yes.
That's fair.
He did. He did. Won't deny that for a second. It's just, I think that ultimately you see Trayvon Walker pick up a. So actually, go ahead and take the alignment thing out of it. My hot take is Trayvon Walker 7.5 sacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
If like going with that take, who would be second on the team in edge snaps behind Josh Allen in that like circumstance, where I know you just said take away the situation thing, but if Trayvon does like kick in inside way more in 2023.
I think it's still Josh Allen and Trayvon, but honestly, I think Chaseon's going to play. Like, unless they sign somebody, Chaseon, in my opinion, is going
to
play a lot.
I'm a little excited to see Chaseon play. I think he's, like, not going to have a breakout or anything, but I think, I don't know. He's shown, like, real flashes of, like, not just, like, sacking a quarterback on a 7-second play, but, like, inconsistent stuff, but decent stuff at times in run defense, too.
That was the thing with him as a rookie, is like he'd have flashes of like really encouraging stuff. It's just like stringing it together. And like you said, he plays really hard. He's somebody who, you know, they all like mm-hmm. effort's never been the question or anything like that. But I really think like unless they add somebody, I think he's going to play a lot. And then I think, you know, you also have Abdullah and Jordan Smith who you can throw out there. I think Jordan Smith is going to get a chance in training camp to compete for legitimate playing time. Like, He's practicing like with a brace right now, so probably you're not getting the full picture of like him 100% right now. But I think once he is, you know, at that level, I think he'll have a chance. Just because, I mean, he has some traits that like some of the other guys really don't have, like just his overall, his length, his size, you know, his when he was healthy, his short area quickness. Because I mean, when he was healthy, you know, he had moments during his first training camp where he looked impressive. Like, and they even said when they drafted him that he was going to be a guy that took a couple years, and you know, here he is.
Here we are.
Yeah. This is his chance. So I think, you know, maybe they do add somebody, but if they don't, those are two guys who I think, you know, could play a lot.
Yeah, I mean, availability is the best ability for both Smith and Chaseon, because they've both been kind of. Definitely more so Jordan Smith, but they've both kind of dealt with
Chaseon was banged up some last year. Good point.
Yeah. If I know you said the last time we did a pod that I think your hot take might have been that they just won't sign anyone this offseason, but like
McManus counts.
If you thought they got one guy at one position, like what would your position guess be?
God, you really put me on the spot.
You could say wide receiver for Nuke.
I'll still go pass rusher, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you don't need to do it right now because nobody's running to sign people right now. You know, like, you're not competing with anybody. So you can wait longer and try to get a better deal. Also, if I was a veteran, I probably wouldn't even want to sign with the team right now. Like, I don't want to do offseason workout.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's what I was going to say. I was trying to think of like when that point is when like veterans become interested in signing again, when they're like, okay, now I'll show up to work.
Like, some guys aren't even doing like training. Like, Chris Harris straight up said, he's like, I won't sign with a team until after training camp. He's like, I have no interest in doing training camp anymore.
There you go.
I get it.
Chris Harris would be good. That would be a good signing, actually.
I still feel like Justin Houston would be a cool ad.
Definitely. Either of those two. Just someone old and cheap, but still good. Nuke is old, but expensive and still good. So old, he's off the list.
Old and cheap and still good. The Gus Logmata. That's how this pod goes, baby.
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right. You got a fourth take, a fifth take, or do you want to get out of here?
I think I'm tapped out on hot takes. It's May 31st, for God's sake.
All right. Well, next week we'll come up with a segment or a ranking segment and do something with that. So until then,
you made it sound like it was a rant.
Yeah, call. It sounded weird.
No, it's like you said. It's the summertime in terms of sports. There is absolutely nothing other than. Okay. Actually, give me this before we go. Okay. Give me your. How many games are the Heat losing in the final? Like, basically.
That's a weird way of asking me to say Nuggets and six.
I think the Heat will win a game.
Yeah.
Nuggets and five.
Yeah, they'll, like, win. Yeah, they'll only win our two games. I hope they, like, I told someone at the beginning of the playoffs that my favorite team is game seven, and that didn't really work out for me. Two nights ago, because like the Celtics Heat game was like a pretty meh game seven, because the Celtics were up just like up 10 or 15 the whole time, or the Heat were, I mean. So Like, I always root for more basketball because I don't really have a favorite team. So hopefully the Heat win more, but I'm also kind of pulling for the Nuggets.
I only phrased it like that because for some reason I thought you were a Heat fan. I'll be honest.
I was when LeBron was on the team.
Okay.
I'm a big LeBron guy.
Same here. I'm a LeBron fan.
Yeah. So
I'm with you. This is that type of podcast. We'll revisit how wrong we are next week. But until then, you know, there'll be another OTA practice or two in there. But yeah, it really, in my opinion, until mandatory minicamp, we're kind of wait and see mode in terms of the Jaguars news.
Wait and see. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, have a good weekend, John. I'll see you next week.
Gus, you too, buddy.
All right.